Thank you so much. Yo, guys. So it's like the new year. I don't know how new it is for some of us, but for a lot of us, it's still a new year. And I don't know about you, but last year, at the beginning of last year, 2025, my slogan was, 2025, it's time to be alive. Right. And as the months progressed, by about October, I was thinking, I don't know if my slogan is that anymore. I think my slogan now is, 2025, am I still alive? Right? And as we kick off 2026, I don't have a cool slogan for 2026. But before we kick off this year properly and before we get going with this year, I want to be the one to just tell you straight out, it's time to give up. Just give up, okay? Before we get going, it's time to give up. All right, I'll just let it hang there for a second, and I'll explain a little bit later. I'm getting all these, like, what? Okay. So, who's had a slow start to 2026? Like, easing it in. Oh, wow. Okay. Many of us. Oh, wow. You guys have got, like, okay, we're jealous. I don't want to hear about it. I want to say, in the Strubel household, not us. That didn't happen in our household. I don't know how many of you knows about Joel's story and his marathon, but January the 1st, New Year's morning came, and our household hit the ground running. We were like all guns blazing to get Joel over the finish line for a 52-kilometer ultra marathon race. I mean, guys, 52 kilometers. That's like from Yeer to Azefontein. All right? And I mean, he did it so that he could raise funds for Altitude. But if you know Joel, my son Joel, okay, you'll know that he's not a runner. He's never liked running, never in his life. What does he like doing? Gymming. He loves pushing the weights, all right? So running, not so much. And if you know Joel, you'll also know that a couple of years ago, he actually, at a youth meeting in Benoni, he broke his pelvis. They did a swinging game as youth do. They swing each other around, and he broke his pelvis. He had to go for surgery on his pelvis, okay? And so, which makes running even harder for him. All right. And so after a lot of talking about, Joel, how can we raise funds for this year of your life? We landed on, okay, you need to do an ultra marathon. Okay. It couldn't be something that was easy, like gymming. He said, Dad, no, everyone knows I like gymming, so it couldn't be a gym challenge. So this is why we landed on him doing an impossible challenge, like a 52-kilometer. I must say, as a parent, guys, doubt crept in every now and then. I was like, Joel, listen, maybe try something different, you know, or run a 21K. That's great. It's like, no, Dad. Then I'm like, okay, run a full marathon, 42, but why an ultra marathon? He's like, no, Dad. He was determined it needed to be an impossible task. So anyway, he was adamant. That's where we landed. And you know, as a parent, there's the moment where you just like, I want to show him I believe in him. I believe in him. I don't want to keep playing it down. I believe that he can do it. Although inside of me, I was like, ooh. Okay. All right. So 5 weeks. We had 5 weeks. He had 5 weeks to train. As you know, he ate a lot of Burger King to train for this ultramarathon. But he did a lot of training. And 5 weeks, we as a family, we promoted it and et cetera, et cetera. Anyways, New Year's Day happened. And we were like, it's time to go. It's time to get going. You know, while everyone is resting and taking it easy, here we are on our way, facing the unknown. How was this race going to turn out? We didn't know. Have we set ourselves up for public failure? I mean, we put it out there, eh? Have we set ourselves up for public failure? So anyway, off we went. And a good friend of ours, Ray, he helped us find a good road, a good farm road that we could run on, a quiet road, a safe road. Other friends of Joel said, Joel, this is some nutritional advice. Every hour you eat a salty potato or whatever, you know. So another good friend of his, actually it's Alex, gave him his Garmin watch, and like you can track your time and your distance and all of that. I personally ran with Joel for 18 kilometers until he was like steaming forward, and I was like, stop, slow down. And eventually as a dad, I was like, no, it's your race, not mine. You carry on running. I'll stop now, you know. And Joe faithfully drove for 52 kilometers behind Joel, shedding the light for where he needed to go. And the girls, our dear girls, cheered him on every kilometer, passing him his nutritional supplements and whatever he needed. And Elijah's brother from America phoned him every now and then just to give him a boost when he really needed it most. And I want to say there's a lesson in there. I want to say that even though Joel was the one running it, man, everyone, this is everyone's story. Like everyone as a community came together and made it happen. And little by little, on the evening, Joel ran. And at first, we celebrated every 10 kilometers. Woo, well done, another 10 kilometers. And then we celebrated every 5 kilometers. Yes, you did a 5 kilometer. Eventually, it was a bit like, okay, you did another kilometer. Well done. Until it was like, my boy, you did another 100 meters. You did another 100 meters. You did another 100 meters. And I must say, the last 5 kilometers, guys, it was, I've never seen my boy in such pain. And he said, Dad, it's like every step I take, it's like a sharp pin is going through his foot, through his ankles, through his like leg, into his knees. And it's just every step he took was so, so painful. And Joe and I, we had good reason to just say to him, my boy, maybe it's time to give up. Like we tried a few times. It's okay. You don't have to prove anything. It's time to give up. And the atmosphere quickly turned from excitement to concern. And our encouragement became not only more frequent, it became more intense. So as much as this was a physical battle for Joel, I want to say it was even more so a battle of the mind. Okay. Guys, he could have listened to us. And we gave him good reason to give up. But I'm so glad he didn't listen to us. Hey? And so one thing is clear, that Joel was not going to finish his race, his 52 kilometers, if he didn't have fight in him. He needed endurance and perseverance. If it wasn't for those two things, endurance and perseverance, he would not cross the finish line. And so I don't know how many people actually know the difference between endurance and perseverance. Is it the same thing or like, you know? And so I actually picked up the phone and asked a good friend, a very wise friend, ChatGPT, what is the difference between endurance and perseverance? And this is what it said. Endurance is about bearing up under pressure. It's the ability to remain faithful, steady, and resilient while hardship is happening. Can you imagine that? A person standing there, able to take the load, it's super hard, but they're able to be faithful and remain steady. And then they said perseverance, listen to this, goes a step further. It includes endurance. You must have the endurance. But it adds intentional forward movement. Okay, despite your obstacles. So then I asked Chet, so what does a long-distance athlete need? Endurance or perseverance? And this is what it said. Long-distance running is classified as an endurance sport, okay? Because an athlete doesn't have perseverance in their muscles. They've got endurance. Okay. And then I was like, okay, where does perseverance fit in then? ChatGPT is very wise, eh? Okay. So where does perseverance fit in? And then it says, perseverance describes the mental and moral determination to go, to keep going despite fatigue, pain, or discouragement. So in a long race, endurance is about your muscles, it's about your lungs, it's about your heart, keeping up under the pressure, constant pressure. But perseverance is choosing, it's your mental mind, choosing not to stop, even if it is unbearable. That's perseverance. In other words, in a long race, you need both. Okay? And Joel had both. Thank the Lord he had endurance, and I thank Jim for that, because his body went through some great strain before. And then he had perseverance because his end goal, his value, was to raise funds for his next year. But here's the thing, guys. Okay, you can have both endurance and perseverance, but aimed in the wrong direction. If you're aiming your energy and your forward moving in the wrong direction, you get to the wrong finish line. Okay, Mark 8:36. I don't know if I didn't say that. But Mark 8:36 says, and what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but you lose your soul? If your aim, if your energy and your movement is towards the wrong goal, you lose your soul anyway. It benefits you nothing. Absolutely nothing. All right. So, I don't know if you know this, but one of the central themes of faith in the Bible is that of running a race. That of running a race. Now, there are many scriptures that likens us to running a race, and I believe Paul was a long-distance runner because he mentions it a lot. I think he was. He says in Corinthians, do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one receives the prize? There are scriptures like, you were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? Another scripture that says that I may be proud that I did not run in vain. Another one says I pressed towards the goal. Another one says I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith. But we're not going to concentrate on any of those. I just want us to concentrate on one scripture today. And this is honestly my life scripture. My favorite is Hebrews 12. And just the first two verses, verse 1 and 2. Okay. And it says, if we can have slide 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Now, there's just 4 points in those two verses that I want to highlight. The first word is endurance. The second point that we're going to look at is strip off. The next one is God has set before us. And the last one is the word keeping. Okay, so we're going to start off. Are you ready? Okay, so we're going to start off with endure. Endurance. It says, let us run the race with endurance. Okay, so here's the word endurance again. Remember, it means to the ability to remain faithful, steady, and resilient while hardship is happening. We are called to be long-distance runners. Do you know that? Raymond, you're called to be a long-distance runner. We are called to be long-distance runners. Okay, here's the problem that many of us face. The lack of endurance. Okay, many people start something that they cannot finish. How many have started a hobby and you've given up halfway? Okay, all right. Guys, here's the bigger question. How many people have started in the faith and they haven't finished it? All right? So again, I asked internet, like, how many people have started in the faith and haven't finished it? Okay, here's some famous people. Katy Perry. All right? She grew up in a Christian household, but she chose not to carry on in that lifestyle. All right. Brad Pitt. All the girls are, ooh, no. Brad, both Brad and Angelina said they no longer feel the need for that spiritual guidance in their life. Okay, Joseph Stalin. Joseph Stalin, did you know that he studied to be a preacher? And then after reading the book Karl Marx, he became an atheist. Okay, this is for the older folk. Rob Bell. Who knows Rob Bell, the famous preacher Rob Bell? Man, he was so instrumental in the 90s, but then he started deconstructing his faith. All right. Marty Simpson, Hillsong worship leader. Jesus, you are my best friend. You know that one? Okay. Oh, my word. I must be older than Kim. All right, it's fine. Anyway, he was a great worship leader that we sang many, we still sing a lot of his worship songs. Guess what? He's no longer a Christian. Okay, many, many, many disciples have stopped following Jesus. In Mark 6, it says, from this time, many disciples turned back and no longer follow Jesus. Why? Because what Jesus said, they took offense to. And I want to say, oftentimes, the reason many people stop running the race is because of the offense that they take up in the church. And they're like, I'm out. I don't want to run this race anymore. I want to say, don't allow offense to take you out of the race. Come on, guys. There are many obstacles that we would need to face. All right, but don't let church hurt and offense take you out. Okay. So we lack endurance. And so I've come across this article called The Foot Coffin. Okay, if we can have that slide up, The Foot Coffin. There we go. All right, it's a bit of a grim picture. All right. PG. All right, my dad did have both his legs amputated. That's not his legs, by the way. Okay. All right, moving on. Okay, and a quote from this article, The Foot Coffin, says, the most dangerous addiction in the modern world isn't sugar, it's comfort. And the most dangerous drug you consume every day is likely to be on your feet. Okay, and basically what it says is, for all of you, human history, all right, we've walked this earth, we've run this earth, we have survived barefoot for thousands of years, we've crossed continents, we've hunted with endurance, and we had no gel cushioning. We didn't need any padding or anything on our feet. And basically, the human foot is a biological masterpiece, okay? As you land on the ball of your foot, your arch loads, your calf stretches, and your Achilles takes and absorbs the shock. It's the perfect spring-loaded system, all right? And then came the 1970s jogging boom, and industry wanted to sell shoes. And so the shoe companies couldn't sell barefoot. How do you sell barefoot? So they came up with a problem. They invented the problem called impact, and the solution was cushioning. All right, and so thick padded heels, and they sold narrow toe boxes. All right, and so this design bypassed the natural ability of the foot to absorb shock. And where the foot was supposed to absorb shock, now the shock and these forces are sent to your hips, your lower back, your knees, things like that, you know? And so you have pain in all these other areas. And the shoe also, what it did was it was hiding the feeling under your feet. Yes, start taking off your shoes. Okay. Your shoe was hiding the feeling that you were supposed to feel under your feet. It was hiding pain. The support almost acted like a cast around your foot. And the muscles that you needed in your life for endurance has fallen asleep. How's that, guys? Yeah. What was sold as protection and comfort only led to a lack of endurance. Technology didn't upgrade your biology, it numbed it. You don't need more comfort. You need stronger feet. All right? And guys, sometimes the solution is simple. Take off your shoes. Hey? Sometimes the solution is simple. Just take off your shoes. I don't know if you remember Zola Budd, the famous runner. She ran without any shoes. And she's still known as one of the best endurance runners out there. Hey? Guys, for me, this is such a great picture of what has happened to many people's faith. We've been born again with the Holy Spirit inside of us to endure many things. We should be a resilient people. But for whatever reason, throughout our journey, we've taken up a lot of cushioning. We've taken up a lot of padding, a lot of support. We've taken on a lot of comfort. We've taken on mindsets that we're not supposed to be having. Opinions that's not the Lord's. And lifestyle that stops us from our faith moving forward. And before we know it, our faith is no longer free to move. Guys, our faith should be immovable. We shouldn't hold it and cushion it. And so our hearts have got a thick layer around it, and our minds have been clouded, which only leads to numbness of our faith. Guys, numbness is what distances us and God. I don't know how many of us are sitting here today and just feeling, man, I'm not feeling God. Or I'm not feeling Him the way I used to. Guys, a numb faith impacts areas in your life. Could be your marriage, could be purity. There's other areas that is being impacted in your life because your faith has become numb. Guys, this is called referred pain from a comfortable faith. So my question to you today, guys, is has your faith become comfortable? I want you to answer that question for yourself right now. Has your faith become comfortable? God wants you to feel the terrain again. God wants you to take off your shoes. Okay. Then I'm going to look at the slide 3 again. It says strip off. The word strip off. Every weight that slows us down. So I'm going to just Bible geek here a little bit. Okay. The Greek word for strip off there is apothemitha. Okay. Apothemitha. And the core meaning of it is to put away, to remove, to cast aside, to discard deliberately. All right. And then it says, especially stripping off something that hinders movement. So to strip off is to strip off those things that hinders movement. Okay. And my question to you today is, what is hindering your movement? Maybe there are some of you that needs to put off and discard deliberately the things that you need to put off today? Before we get going with this year, today is the day that you need to strip those things off. And I want to say, you are the one that needs to discard it deliberately. It's not an action of God's. God is expecting us to say, Lord, here it is. I'm stripping it off. What must you remove from your life today? How many times in your Christian walk have you thought, oh, man, I'm battling. I keep tripping up. I can't do this. And maybe you've fallen so hard that you're just trying to keep it together and you're just hiding from everyone, that you're trying so hard to just keep it together. Maybe you've even heard these words, it's time to give up. And I want to say that all the enemy wants for your life is that you give up. That's all he wants. There's nothing more he wants is for you to give up on this race. But today, I want to echo those same words. Guys, it's time to give up. It's time to give up. Paul urges us, strip off. We have many layers. There are many things that we are padding around our hearts and our minds and our bodies even. It's time to give up the addictions. It's time to give up a lazy attitude. It's time to give up, maybe it's a false sexual identity. It's time to give up grumbling, comfort eating, overspending, scrolling endlessly, living for yourself. It's time to give up. Give up the sin and the weight that so easily entangles us, that stops us from moving. Guys, there are many things we are called to endure, but unnecessary weight isn't one of it. Okay. Jesus died on the cross and took the weight upon him. It's not our weight to carry. All right? Give it to him. The sin you're dealing with. All of those things. The addiction. Whatever it is. He died for it, to take it upon himself. That's the good news today. Give it to him. It's his to bear. Having endurance and perseverance, guys, is one thing. But enduring and persevering with unnecessary weight is impossible. Impossible. All right. And then I want to go to slide four. The race that God has set before us. Do you know that God is the one who set this race before you? With obstacles and all. Do you know that God is the one who says, there's, run the race with endurance, the race that God has set before us. God is the one that has set the race before us. And I don't have much to say on this point other than he knows every single weight that you will ever carry in your life. He knows. Now, some weight is because of your own sinful desires. But there are other weights that you would have to endure because we are simply born into a broken and sinful world. And so this is all I want to say on this. He's not calling us to endure with sin. All right? That's unnecessary weight. He's not calling us to endure with sin. He's calling us to endure in our faith. To keep believing in him. That's what he's calling us to. Which takes me to my last word there, which is keeping. keeping. It says, by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Jesus is the start of this race. He's the start of your faith. And Jesus is also the end, the perfecter of your faith. From beginning to end, keeping, that word keeping, is a continuous doing word. It's not at one stage I said, I lifted my hand up and said yes to Jesus. Keeping is continuous. You have to keep on believing that He's our Savior, that He's the one who bears my sin. We keep on believing. And you know, I've heard many times Christians say, you know what, I don't have to do anything. Jesus has done it all. Have you heard that before? I don't have to do anything. Jesus has done it all. No. You have to do the keeping. You have to do the keeping part, guys. My question to you today is, what are you keeping on? What are you keeping on? What you keep looking at is where your faith is at. It's like, as an example, if a child falls and bruises their knee and they run to a parent because they look towards the parent for their comfort and salvation, all right, to fix them. Now, maybe some of you at one stage has looked to Jesus for their salvation. But for some reason, your eyes have drifted. For some reason, you are no longer keeping on in Him. Your faith has dwindled away from Jesus. Guys, keeping is the perseverance part. That's where perseverance comes in. Our biggest challenge is not the obstacles. Our biggest challenge is the keeping part. How many of us are genuinely keeping on? Guys, my prayer is that if you have stopped believing, that you will enter back into this race from this moment on. Hebrews 3, verse 14 to 15 says, we have come to share in Christ. 14 to 15. Yeah. We have come to share in Christ. What's the next word? If indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the very end. As has just been said, today if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Guys, that is a big if. You have come to share in Christ. You have come to share in Christ. If what? You hold to your original conviction. Our faith in Jesus is as important today as what it was the first day you had faith in Jesus. Responding to Jesus today is as important as the first day you responded to Jesus. That is the keeping. Guys, finishing the race is not about our own efforts. Because if it was, then we're not keeping in Him. Then we're just looking at ourselves again. Finishing the race is about keeping on believing that I'm in Christ. That He's the one that has taken on my weight. And even if I trip and fall, I keep believing. I keep believing that He's the one. My eyes are on Him. That is my endurance. And you know, there's a lot of people, and I hope it's not this church, but there's a lot of people in church, they endure faithfully under the weight, but they're static. No movement. Guys, I'm going to say endurance alone is still standing still under pressure. All right. Endurance alone is not what saves us. Keeping our faith in Jesus and what He has done is what saves us. You know, I was talking to Joey Thursday, I think, and Joey just shared a massive revelation with me, which I'm going to share. And I was blown away by that, actually. And it goes like, you know that before Joel even ran the race, all the fees were paid? Do you know that? The price was fully paid even before he started running one meter. Okay. But that didn't mean that Joel didn't have to run the race. All right? He still had to run the race. It still required a massive amount of endurance and perseverance on his side. And so here's the truth, guys. If Joel's attitude was, hey, it's all paid for now, I don't have to do anything, can I tell you something? We would have had some explaining to do. And we probably would have to give all that money back. All right? If that was his attitude. But here's God's grace. If Joel gave it his all, and let's just say this happened, and he gave it his everything, blood, sweat, and tears, and let's say he only reached like 35 kilometers, do you know that his sponsors would have said, well done. Well done, you gave it your all. Or you gave it your all. The agreement is still in place. The price is fully paid. That is God's grace. Hey? And this is God's reality with us. He's paid the price fully. But the race is still yours to run. Don't stop running. Don't stop believing. Keep running, guys. And then just, can I have the keys maybe? Just, Delia. But so here's the bad news, guys. The Bible says that many won't make it. Matthew 7, verse 13 to 14 says, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few. It's not great. Those who find it are few. Matthew 24, verse 10 to 12 says, At that time, how many? Many. Let's not be deceived here and think just because you're sitting in a chair here today in church that you're going to necessarily make it. Many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other because the increase of wickedness, the love of most, will grow cold. Guys, this race that we're running is not like a Joel race for a year of your life. This race that we're running is about eternity. It's not some quick 52-kilometer race, guys, that lasts one night. This race that you're running is a lifetime race. And it's about an eternity with Jesus. Can I ask you that as we kick off this year, that we do take this race seriously? Can we take this race seriously? Can you stand firm in your faith?